Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie. Katie's basically a hippopotamus.
I'm literally a week away from being 9 months pregnant, and I just feel like a fucking hippo.
But,
you know.
Well.
Like, I feel like with this one, I didn't swell. I mean, I'm not swollen.
I was going to say, you're not swollen.
I feel like my arms got bigger.
I'm going to agree to disagree, but you know your body more. Yeah, so I understand.
Feel like I'm just bigger.
Yeah, I know when your body, like, when you don't feel.
Yeah, it also doesn't help that it's the summer. I've never really, when I got pregnant with Leah, we did the transfer in August. So, like.
No, yeah, you.
You're not, to me, I'm like, that's barely pregnant in, the summer. Like, I'm pregnant this summer.
Yeah. You basically will be giving birth. Like, you were pregnant, like, for 2 weeks in August with Leah.
Yes.
And, like, you'll be pregnant for 1 week in August this year.
Yes.
But. It's not like you can enjoy yourself. So
like when they're like, when do you want to have a C-section? I was like, well, when is Dr. Wright working? They're like, the 5th or the 8th. It's like, when can I start delivering? She's like, the 5th. I was like, then put me the fuck down for the 5th.
I know. I really wanted 8824, but.
It sounds really nice and clean, but I was like sitting there thinking about it. I was like.
I just loved it because Aunt TT wanted. Okay, so my birthday is 12/12/88.
I'm 5590.
And so I thought like 8824 was cool because it was like 88 and then half of 24 is 12. So it was kind of like.
Kind of you.
It's kind of my birthday backwards, you know?
I will say I like the 5 because I'm the 5th and then Leah's the 25th. Tom sucks us up.
Yeah, because he's the 27th.
But like. I was like, I can get on board with that. I don't know. I'm so weird with numbers and birthdays.
No, I am too.
Because even picking Leah's birth date was really hard.
Yeah.
And it's a mouthful. Like 4/25/23 is a fucking mouthful.
And he'll be a Leo.
See,
like I literally don't care about Zodiac. Like I'm like not like big into it. But then at the same time, like I'm like, oh, but if I had like a baby born in this month, like I would not want it to be like a Cancer. No offense, any Cancer. You know what I mean? Like.
No, I get that.
You can't plan it, obviously. No. But some people do. Like, they only try, like, during, like...
certain times.
I mean, I would never do... I mean, it's out of my control. But, like, I would never do that. But in my head, I'm like, oh, like, I would... Me and Gil are both Sagittarius. I'm like, I would love another Sagittarius baby. It would just be, just, like, hectic and chaotic in the house all the time.
Duh. I mean, Lee and I are both Tauruses. So...
I can't wait for that to be a
thing.
There's
things that, like, she does now, and I'm like... That's my fucking personality. That's like my attitude seeping through you right now.
Yeah.
But the only good thing I will say is like, what is your attitude? You know how to handle it.
Yeah.
Like I know when she even like looks at me, I'm like, I know.
Because that's you.
I know that look. Like it's the look that I give your dad. Like,
and your grandma.
So,
your grandma.
Yeah, exactly. I give it to everybody. So like, when Tom's like, what the fuck? I'm like, I got this.
Yeah, Tom's in for a rude. Like I know that him and Lee are going to gang up on you a lot, but he's in for a rude awakening when it's you and her against him.
Yes. He's already, so with toddlers, obviously, and if you have a toddler, I'm sure you know this, or like you know a toddler, like they go through phases where it's like a mama phase and a dad phase.
Mm-hmm.
Leah is in her mama era right now. Like even on the monitor when she wakes up in the morning, all you hear is mama! Like girlfriend wants her mom, which I'm okay with, but Tom is so butthurt. Like he was trying to feed her a couple times, like with the bottle, like but give her the milk. She's so advanced in some things, but like girlfriend will not hold a bottle herself.
No, why would she?
Like you have to feed the princess.
I'm gonna stop holding any drinks. Actually, Katie, I really want a sip of this. Can you hold
just
it for me?
We tilt it up here. But like she was screaming bloody murder, like I had to feed her. And he literally got him, like walked away, like hit something, he's like, she doesn't like me. And I'm like
same. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't like anyone right now.
No.
But I was like, it's okay. Like, I get it. Like, she was in a dad phase not too long ago. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and it, like, hurts your feelings. That's why
it totally does.
I mean, I get it, because, like, if Winston chooses to cuddle with Gil and not with me, like, I get annoyed. But, like, I think it's so funny, like, when people are like, oh, man, I'm so sorry, my kid, like, she's just, like, it's just going through a phase. Like, it only wants me, like, if I go visit, like, my friend's kids, I'm like, it's a child. Like, it's okay. Like, I am not offended.
Literally no offense.
Not offended whatsoever. It was funny. So, I went to see my friend Lauren last week, and I'm obsessed with her daughter. She's like the coolest girl ever. And she's like really into Taylor Swift right now, whatever. But sometimes when I go there, like, she's immediately excited to see me. And sometimes she's like a little bit more shy. But when I was leaving, she like gave me a hug. Like, we were coming home from dinner. So like Lauren, like, just like dropped me by my car, and she like asked for a hug and a kiss. So I went to the back to give her a hug and a kiss. And then I went to my car, and Lauren like drove up her driveway, and I like see like Mia like out of the car, like, so I roll my window down, and she's like, "I need another hug and kiss."
Oh my god, that's so cute.
And I was like, "Okay," I was like, "I'll come give you another one." Aww. But I was like, "Are all children in their TT era right now?"
I mean, my kid really likes you.
Yeah, no, well, duh.
She has no choice.
But I'm one of her moms, so if she's in a mama phase, like,
and she's obviously obsessed with you.
Obviously.
I mean, if you guys are around on Sunday, let me know. I can bring her over. I was actually gonna text you. Well, there was one day I think I was alone. I was like, "Do we just go to fucking ATTs and hang out for a little bit?" Because like,
I'm literally just like lying on my couch 98% of the time. I really thought that I would have. Actually, that's not true. I have been doing a lot more lately, but I was like, after my surgery, like, once I'm healed, I'm gonna be so active. I'm gonna be here, here, and here.
It's so hard to do that in the summer.
I mean, I am doing a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm in the summer of not saying no, because last summer I had to say no. Like, Gil and I were talking. So last summer, this week, I was waiting to get my period to start the retrieval meds for my egg retrieval. I had it last July. So like, one, I felt like shit because I was like getting my period. And then I got my period, I think the day. No. So the 4th was on a Tuesday last year. I got my period on Thursday. And then I started the meds. You start them on like day 3. Mm-hmm. So I started them on Saturday because that's when you had to come do the first shot.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And I was miserable. And then I had the overstimulated ovaries. So then even after the retrieval, which my retrieval, they had to go through my abdomen instead of through my cervix because...
Because that's just what happens to Teresa.
Because my uterus was so massive. They couldn't find my ovaries. So they had to go through my abdomen. So like, again, like a little bit more annoying than like a normal one, but okay, fine. And then I had the overstimulated ovaries. So then I had like flu-like symptoms for 2 weeks. It was just like last summer was trash. And then I started a transfer meds, and then I was, and then my lining was really bad. So then they were like, "Get off the transfer meds. Also, you started ovulating and like you shouldn't be. So here's another trigger shot to give you a period to like release like this like random egg that you produce." I was on
meds
like on and off, on and off, on and off all last summer. And I was miserable.
Yeah.
So this summer I'm like, oh, I feel so good. So I'm just saying like yes to doing things.
As you should.
Yeah.
And not even just last summer did you have to say no.
Like, well, right. Yeah. Like,
even like when we went to, what was that book event? We just went Sweetgrass.
Sweetgrass.
Like
yeah.
We literally had plan A, which was Teresa feels good. Let's just do the whole time there. Like yeah. No hiccups. Plan B was we're getting in, we're going to see the Ritchie sisters, getting her book signed. Like, I'll make sure she gets back to the room. And then if I want to go back, like, I'll go back. Like, you had to have multiple plans.
Yes. Especially because I was up the whole night before.
Dying. Like, she did not sleep because I felt the bed move the whole night. So.
I was either pissing, putting a tampon in, or
taking a shower because it felt good.
Taking a hot shower while my heat pack heated up. It was a time. And now here I am.
You're allowed to tell the tale.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody, I feel like if you've been listening to us, you've heard the tale. You've heard the tale a lot. And then I finally posted it on Instagram yesterday.
The whole shebang.
Well, most of it, 98% of it. Because Instagram thank God they capped off at 400 words. I wrote a whole thing. It was like almost 800 words. And I was like a stand-up comic in the first run of it. Cause I was like, I'm not good at being serious. So a lot of it was like, LOL. And then I tried to post and Instagram was like, that caption, you need to cut that in half. So we did a lot of edits. Anyway, I think it was fine. Also, now everybody's seen my scar or most of my scar. My one friend was like, oh, your scar's not that bad. I thought it was going to be bigger. I'm like, I didn't take a picture of my vagina.
But like, it's literally down to my hoo-ha. And then there's also a smiley face in the bottom because you had the other surgery.
Yes, so I have like... two. I have intersecting scars. One goes horizontal, one goes vertical. But I was like laughing. First, he was like, it kind of looks like you have abs because of like how it, whatever. And then he's like, oh, it's like not as big as I thought it was going to be. And I'm like,
it's just
sir,
right here.
Yeah, like I literally only showed like one-third of it. Yeah, I thought it was just funny. Anyway,
That's amazing.
It's a spilling the tea episode. I've actually kind of read a lot. I feel like I want to rapid fire most of them.
I can rapid fire some of mine too, because some we're talking about.
I was going to say
future podcasts.
Yeah.
One you've read already and you've spoken about it. Actually two. I did do two DNFs last month. So like.
How far into them?
50%.
Okay.
And then 70%.
Okay. True DNFs.
True DNFs.
Yeah. Because like I read like 15% into something and stopped. But I don't consider that a DNF. I just, like, wasn't in the mood for it.
Yeah, that's different.
Okay.
Did you want to rapid fire first?
Sure. Because, like, the first few, I'm going to rapid fire them. So, so This Is War, which is the Vancouver Agitators book 5 by Megan Quinn. It came out last week, I think. I read the arc of it. And I actually really like the Vancouver Agitators because Megan Quinn is very hit or miss depending on the book for me. And I've liked all of the Agitators books. This one was my least favorite though. Another hockey romance though was The Au Pair Affair by Tessa Bailey, which comes out on the 16th, I believe. That one actually I really liked. It's the second book in the Big Shots series. So the first book was Fangirl Down, which we reviewed on here. I liked this one more. I just thought it was really cute.
You did say you liked
it. I liked it. And then I read an MM romance, Special Delivery. I got an arc of the audio on.
Oh, how was that?
NetGalley. It was interesting.
Okay.
Okay. Like, I liked the idea of the story. I just felt like it was very like, I went to the store. I think he's cute. We had sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, but like, it was just
very like,
milestone-y. Yes. Yes. And then basically they're like, oh, like it goes from like, oh, like we're just exploring to like, we are in love and now we're together, which I thought was weird. And then another rapid fire one. I really want to just like, actually, you know what? I'll get into this one a little bit more. The Bonus by T.L. Swan. So we got an arc and it comes out in August and there are just certain authors that I think just, like, I don't vibe with. Lucy Score is one of them. Like, I don't like her books. And that's okay. T.L. Swan, I read the entire, like, Mile High, whatever, like, that brother series. And this one is about, I forget his name, oh my God. He's like, Gabriel. He's mentioned in the Mile, like, whatever fucking series it's called. And he's basically, like, that family's, like, rival, like, business. So they're, like, multimedia conglomerate type of business.
Okay.
Or media conglomerate type of business, whatever. Anyway, blah, 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 whatever. The plot of this book was so funny.
Okay.
So he's like this multimillionaire, billionaire, whatever. He like is like, he's like, it makes sense. You know how we talk about like, when like, why are you rich? He runs like a worldwide like media company.
Okay.
So like, yes.
Makes sense.
And it's a family business. It's been in the family forever. So like he grew up rich. He is rich. He runs the New York office. He has a brother who runs like the London office, whatever. It makes sense. Like this man is like rich. And it starts off. So his assistant, like, it starts off and it's like, she's like, oh, I'm obsessed with my boss. I love my boss so much. And then it's like, but he's such a dick. And like, I'm like, okay, like I needed to kind of be like a little bit more enemies to lovery. Anyway, she ends like, he like always parades like other women in front of her and like all this stuff. And like, she's like, I just can't take this anymore. I am going to buy a house in Maine and leave the company. I'm like quitting. Like, I just don't want to be in New York anymore. And I don't want to be around this man because like, I cannot move on with my life if I still work for him. And, long story short, on like her like last set, he's like distraught over her like leaving. He's like, bitch, like you're not fucked. Like, you cannot quit. On like her like last day, it's like the holiday, like Christmas party. And basically like they end up fucking.
Okay.
And they have this like super like romantic night together and like they basically like fuck all night and like he's so like loving and tender to her and then she's expecting in the morning like, oh my God, like we're gonna be together. And he's like kind of like a dick. And he's like, so he's Italian. Like, I guess like his parents, like he's whatever. And he's like, I cannot marry somebody who's not Italian. That's literally
such an Italian thing to say.
But like, that is literally the whole reason why they cannot be together, is because she's not Italian. So he's like, I cannot be with you. I need to marry an Italian woman who like understands like our culture. Okay, listen, I am Italian. I come from an Italian family. My grandma like literally like met Gil and was like, what's your last name? Just to make sure he was. But like, it wasn't that I didn't marry Gil because he's Italian. I actually was like, I'm never marrying an Italian boy because like, I hate the way that like, whatever, like the old school mentality of like stick with other Italians, whatever. Nobody else in my family married Italians, by the way. And like, literally nobody cares because it's like not a real thing.
Yeah.
And like, so the whole, like, they're madly in love apparently, but like the whole reason why they can't be together is because she's not Italian. So like,
a very dumb reason.
Right. Exactly. Like, there's actually really nothing keeping them apart. So her heart is all broken. She goes up to Maine. She's like, in like her new house, she finds out she's pregnant. So she like tries calling him. He doesn't answer. Then she like goes to the office. She like goes back to New York. She's like, I have to tell him I'm pregnant. And he like won't see her. And then like 7 years pass by.
Oh my God.
And she had twins, a boy and a girl. And she named them Italian names and has been teaching them Italian, even though their dad has no idea that they exist. Because she's just been, like, so in love with him and, like, wanted to, like, give them, like, their heritage. Like, but honestly, like, and then he's engaged to somebody else when he finds out that she has these kids that are his. And it was just, like, so ridiculous. And then he finds out.
That's something I never want to pick up. No.
And I read the whole thing. And then.
Wow.
I know. Because I thought it was so funny, but, like, not in a good way. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, this is so bad that it's actually
the whole thing. Like, and then, like, the mom's, like, trying to, like, pay her off. And, like, the other girl that he's engaged to is Italian. And, like, then he finds out that his kids are, like, named, like, Italian names. And, like, they, like, know how to speak Italian fluently. And he's like, I can't believe she would do this. Like, and then he's just, like, in love with her. And, like, now they're, like, living in Maine. But then they have to fly back and forth to New York. Because, like, he saw us around. Like, literally, it was so crazy. It was so dumb.
I'm cringing.
Like, the whole plot was, like, we can't be together because you're not Italian. So, and then, like, a 7-year time jump, basically, of, like, oh, by the way, we have twins.
That's just bizarre.
And then they're together anyway. So, like.
Sounds like I'll never read that.
Yeah. No, it was. I just really wanted to talk about it because I thought it was so funny. Like.
No,
we can't be together because
like,
you're
Italian
not.
Italian, too, but, like. And I do understand that there is a lot of mentality of like
I do know yeah.
different ethnicity of whatever you know the fuck I'm trying to say.
Pregnancy.
I get it. Like I know that there's still that mentality. Like I know some arranged marriages are still a thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm not knocking it. I just feel like just for like this, like I think we can laugh about it because we're both Italian and we do come from like Nana used to do the same shit too. Like oh, it's the Italian. Like what the fuck is it? He's a fucking Italian right now. Like, shut the fuck up. Like,
and like,
your family came to America.
And like, he runs the company. He's like a multimillionaire. It's not like he's like, oh, they're going to cut me off from the company if I. He's running it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, so like, there's no other like.
Like, it was just.
It'd be different if, like, yeah, it'd be different if, like, the rule was like, you have to marry an Italian or you lose.
You can't be the CEO.
Yeah, like, and you or you lose your trust fund.
Right.
Like, but there's like nothing.
No,
then,
there was.
Like,
it was just like, oh, I can't marry somebody who's not Italian. And then, like, he just completely, like, cuts her off. And then, like, yes, like, could she have tried harder to get in touch with him about, oh, I'm having two of your children? Probably.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, I don't know.
It's
like, it was just so.
Dumping.
And she literally, like, she's in another relationship in this time. And the man apparently is perfect, but she just, like, can't get over. I'm like, you slept with this man one time. His excuse was, you're not Italian. And then he, like, cut you off. I would not be, I'm sorry. Like,
no.
Peace. Anyway, I just thought it was funny. The plot was hysterical, in my opinion. Anyway, sorry, you go now.
That's amazing. Okay, so I did a lot of arcs. Obviously, with the summer, there's witchy books out.
Did you guys know that Katie likes to read witchy books? I don't know if she's mentioned it before, but Katie's really into witchy books.
So, well, no, actually, let's backtrack. So, Fragile Sanctuary by Catherine Cowles, I did on audio. I've never physically eyeball read a Catherine Cowles book, but the audios are always superb. If you need a good audiobook, you like some trauma background, a sprinkle of spice, like a decent plot, a little bit of mystery in there as well. She's your girl. I rated it 4.5 stars. I thought it was a really good story. There's like a fire that like basically kills her entire family.
Oh, well,
trauma. Then she decides to restore the house so like she can live there.
Mm-hmm.
She was about to go into not special services.
Social services.
But her best friend's mom actually ended up like taking care of her. So she has like a little found family, come to find out that like her parents were purposely murdered and she was always like the target. It's a really good story. As they always are. Then I did the Crescent Moon Tea Room, which is like a cozy, cute paranormal read. It's like these sisters that are gifted in magic. It gave Caravel meets like Night at the Circus vibes.
Okay.
But it didn't deliver like those books did. Like,
okay.
I think it's a really like 3.5 star road book. Like, it was all there. I just felt like
It was missing.
Something was missing from it.
That sucks.
Yeah, like it was, and again, beautifully written. Like, I think her, like the words this woman was spewing, like she's got it. She's got the combo. Just didn't like fully execute. So I mean, you know, it's cute, but whatever. I did listen to Ready or Not, which Teresa has talked about. It is a surprise pregnancy trope. I thought it was really cute. The audio was done really well.
The audio just really felt like somebody was, it was like either like a podcast or your friend was like telling you like over like a glass of wine,
and
like their
like
life story.
Job. Like, she was funny. Like, she like did like cool voices.
Yeah.
With it. It's like, again, if you want an audiobook, I'd highly recommend that
one.
And it's not really, it gives very much like Abby Jimenez, like Emily Henry vibes, where it's not heavy on like the romance, like it's an actual contemporary story.
Yeah.
So like, again, just very enjoyable. I read another book called Casket Case. This was the one I DNF'd at 50%. Like, the chemistry was like, I fucking hate it when you rush a chemistry moment between the whatever. Like, same thing. It kind of went from like, we're strangers, we're meeting, and then like all of a sudden we're in love. Like, it made zero sense.
If you're going to do an insta-love kind of plot line, I feel like you really need to sell it. Like, sometimes I'm like, I believe this. And then there's other times I'm like, this is too much too soon.
You need to sell the attraction. And I feel like sometimes with these witchy reads I'm like discovering, is they kind of make the male main character, I don't want to phrase this, not so, like kind of introvert. Okay, first and foremost, I'm not offending anyone here. I'm not trying to. Like, I'm an introvert, but like they make like the female main character kind of quirky, but then they also make the male main character quirky. And I feel like you can't have two of the same kind of characters,
yeah,
with similar traits like getting together, and then all of a sudden, like in the bedroom, the man can't just like turn into like this alpha dom. Like, it makes no sense.
I hate that. I'm sorry, not
zero sense.
Not every smutty scene needs to have a male character who's like dirty talking.
Yeah.
If it fits the personality, throw it in there. But like, again, like not if you're like, okay, we say this all the time about Powerless with Sloane and Jasper. Like, Jasper was a soft, sad boy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that if you're soft and sad, you can't be like domineering in the bedroom, but I think we never saw any of that. So it didn't feel.
It didn't correlate, in my opinion.
I will
say, like, the one book I have read where I think the author does a really good job of kind of making the man out to be introverted, anxiety ridden, like more like he keeps to himself, but he also kind of exudes like, I know what I want though throughout the whole book, was Morbidly Yours by Ivy Asher. Morbidly Yours. I'm sorry if I
didn't. Ivy Fairbanks. Yes, like,
not Ivy Asher. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. She does a really nice job of the balance with that. But, like, I just don't think every paranormal romance that is delivered to us needs to have, like, all these quirky, weird characters. Like, yes, we're all quirky and weird because we like the paranormal. But you know what I mean? Like, you can, like, Julie Johns, I think, does a really nice job with it. Like,
yeah.
She makes the male main character, like, an actual alpha. So, like, you get the two sides of the story. Like, you get the female main character who's a little different, had, like, the witchy shop or is a clairvoyant. But then on the flip side, like, if you want a little bit more of, like, some spice in there with, like, some moments, here's your male main character.
I'm wondering, have you read any that has, like, because I feel like, I don't know, because I don't read as many witchy books, but I feel like it would be really, like, fun if you had, if, like, the female main character was, like, the grumpy one. Because I feel like with
witchy, you can do like very like black cat energy. Like, not everybody needs to be like quirky.
I have yet to find a that is like,
because I'm like kind of, I need a like reverse Grumpy Sunshine kind of thing, where she's like this like very like gothic, like not gothic where it's like crazy, but like, you know what I mean, like a, like more like grumpy gothic-y like witch woman in like a shop or whatever, and then like kind of like this like sunshine guy who's
like a golden retriever.
I kind of need that. I think that would be like fun to read, and I feel like
it probably hit.
Yeah,
I just feel like you can't, in these paranormal romance books, you can't give the female man main character like very similar character traits. It just, I get it, like I know opposites attract, and like I know people can be similar when they date, but like again, when you're trying to sell it in a story, like it just loses its lackluster. So like, same thing, like, and I thought this was gonna be cool, like he's definitely like working for death, like he is death, like coming to collect souls. She runs like a funeral parlor. Again, like there was like some cool parts there, but like this isn't like, the whole first 50% was them like just kind of like dating. You don't get anything else than like them just like going out and what they're doing, and the fact that they're both like attracted to each other. Like, that's not what I want to read.
No.
Speaking of Grumpy Sunshine stuff, Leather and Lark, which is book two of the Ruinous Love series by Brynn Weaver.
Yep.
I need someone to tell, I know people love the audio. You love the first audio.
The audio
is
really,
I need your mother's opinion on the audio.
So my mom, she just finished it today.
Oh my God, okay.
She was here on Sunday and she said that the audio was really good. She said that her one issue with the audio, she was like, instead of being like, and then she giggled, or like she said it like whatever, she's like, the voice actors were like, ha 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 ha. And they were like more acting than reading. And she said it kind of like threw her off a little bit. She was like, I would rather them be like, say in like a lighthearted tone, oh, and then I giggled, not like actually giggling. But I have the book and I also have the audio, and I don't know which I want to do.
I was really torn too. I went eyeball read. It was good.
Did you eyeball Butcher too?
Yes.
Okay.
But I like Butcher and Blackbird, to me, it just sits on that top tier shelf. Like, this did not deliver like that book did.
And I feel like I don't really hear a lot of people talking about
it. It was still good. Like, she's also an unaliver. Person minus, she called herself something. I think there was a little bit more of like some stuff to work through with her as well. Like, people are coming after her family. She's got some trauma. I was here for it. Like, again, like, components all there. I just feel like this lacked what Butcher and Blackbird was able to deliver on. I also just think I really wanted more serial killer moments, and like, you didn't really get that with this one.
Okay.
Like, she literally just like walked and like shot someone. Like, that's not what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted eyeballs plucked and like toes cut off, like fingernails removed.
Katie's like, I want dismemberment.
My second DNF, Happy Medium, Sarah Adler. This was so fucking boring. That's all I have to say about it. It was just so fucking boring. Don't waste your time. I read another arc, Potions and Proposals. I gave it a 3.5 stars. Same thing. I feel like the characters were very, like, very similar.
I just feel like the witchy book genre is getting oversaturated, like the hockey romance genre did.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. I finished it not too long ago. Couldn't tell you anything about it. So there you go about that. And then my last listen I just finally finished was How to End a Love Story. Cool is a terrible word. It was interesting to see both sides.
Yep.
I think it kind of gives you a deeper appreciation for what people are going through. Like, it kind of opens your eyes to some things.
Yep.
I thought it was really good. There were times where I wanted to, like, sucker punch Helen.
Is that her name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And in my head, I was saying Helen, too, and I was like, I don't know if that's right.
Like, because I was like, what would I do in this situation? My sister was the one who stepped out in front of a car, and, like, I was falling in love with this guy. Like, I couldn't even fucking imagine to be in that situation. And, of course, as the reader, like, oh, my God, like, just tell your parents, like, whatever. Like, but, like, girl, you're not into her fucking shoes, so you have no idea how to handle that or what you would do. But like, even like the sister component, right? Like, her running into her sister's room and like trying to clean up the evidence of like anything bad. Like, I think I would probably do it for my sister too. Like, let me just go through Gina's room, like, make sure there's like,
well, because her sister was out, like, dabbling with drugs at the time. So I think, and I do.
I liked it overall. I liked it.
Yeah,
it was
I think
it was a good 4-star book.
Yeah, I gave it 4 stars too. I liked the story. I liked, like, I guess the juxtaposition of like Helen's character of like wanting to hate him, but also being in love with him.
Yes.
And then like be like not wanting to betray her parents, but then like not wanting to like, I guess, betray herself or him.
Yeah.
And I really liked Grant's character. That's his name?
Yeah. The author did a really good job of kind of like showing all avenues. Like, I don't know. I feel like I was like sitting back and I was like, I never thought about it from this side. Like,
yeah.
Like, ooh, like I didn't. Ooh.
Like, is that my position that I never want to find myself in?
No. But like,
but I think she did a really,
really
well. Yeah.
And it's like, and again, I don't like emotional reads. It's this, the situation is sad, but it's not like a sad.
It's not a sad book. Yeah.
So I feel like that was, that's kind of nice too. So again,
it's
like,
actually
like,
pretty horny.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. But like, so I feel like I got to like walk away with like a new appreciation for all sides of the coin, but also like this was kind of cute, like good smutty moments, if you will. So yeah.
Well, I have a few more.
Keep going. I went through online.
That's okay. I was
I did a pretty good rapid fire.
You did. Yeah, no, I don't have like too much to say, but The Roughest Draft by a husband wife combo. Emily Wibberly and then Austin Sigmund Broca, I think is how you say their names. And I know that people like loved this book and then they wrote The Breakup Tour and people were so excited for it. And then everybody's like, this is the worst book that's ever been written. Anyway, The Roughest Draft, I did like it. It is, I don't even know if you can call it a second chance romance. So they are both authors and they meet at a writing workshop and he is like, you have to be like my writing partner. Like you have to write this book, like a book with me. He like hears her like read like something of hers and he's just like enamored with her writing style. And it starts off very platonic, very friendly. He's a girlfriend when they first meet and they are just really good friends. They write a book together. It does like decent, but whatever. And then they go to write their second book together. And whenever they're writing together, they kind of go on like little retreats. Like they'll be like, oh, we're going to Italy for a week on like a writing retreat to get in the, I guess, headspace of like where they're doing it, whatever. So when they're writing like their next book, they go to Florida. I think it's like for like a month or two. They're there for an extended period of time. He is married now and his wife is like always like very supportive, but like you come to kind of find out like that if they were more, they got together in like college, they got married pretty young. And it was like more, I don't want to say a marriage of convenience, but like, it was like, you know, like when like, you're just like very comfortable with like a person like and you're young and like the sex is good. So like they got married.
Gotcha.
But in the, it's like told in like kind of alternating timelines. Okay. So in the current timeline, 4 years later, they have not spoken since the day that they finished writing their previous book. Okay. And their previous book is like an international bestseller.
Okay.
And there's all of this like lore around it because everybody knows that once they finished writing that they completely stopped talking. So it's like, what happened? Was there an affair? Was there this? Was there this? Why aren't they speaking? So he eventually writes a book on his own. She has like all of this basically like PTSD from like the experience. Like she refuses to write. She had a lot of anxiety. And not like she has anxiety like in general, but I think it was just like exasperated by like what happened. And they, at the time when they were writing partners, they were sharing the same literary agent. And after all of this, like he got a new agent and she ended up dating their agent and she's engaged to him and she's been engaged to this agent now for like 2 years and he like won't set a date.
Okay.
And you find out that like she keeps trying to set a date and he won't. And then he kind of only like treats her like she's worth anything if she's writing and if he can get something out of her. So like he basically like puts her in this position where he's like, you have to go and you have to write something with whatever the fuck his name is, because I'm not gonna remember their names. Oh my God. I get like a million spam calls.
Same, it's disgusting.
Okay, like I honestly don't even remember their names, but we're just gonna call them MMC and FMC. No, okay, she's Katrina and he's Nathan. Okay,
right.
We'll call her Kat because that's what he calls her. Anyway, so she basically agrees to go back to Florida to the house that they wrote their like bestseller in, because they have to fulfill, like, they have one more book on their contract. Okay. So they have to fulfill it. And she's like, the only way that my fiance will like marry me basically is if like I'm a writer again. Anyway, you find out that like when they were writing the book, Nathan does a really good job of putting his like feelings into a book. So like basically the first book that they wrote, it was like they were writing like love letters back and forth to each other, kind of. But he's married. And like they're having like, you know, like they have these like moments and he like all of a sudden like fictionalizes like this moment. And she's like falling in love with him and she's like, he's obviously falling in love with me too, because everything he's writing is like a fictionalized version of what's happening here. And it's told in like the POV of like the man falling in love with the woman or like whatever.
Okay.
So they are in love and he basically, I think, like tells her like, I'm going to leave my wife for you. Okay. And she kind of has like a menti B, because she's like, one, you're going to blow up your whole life for me. Like, but are you in love with me? Are you in love with like this fictional version that you've created in your head while we've been writing? And we've been in this like bubble, like living here, writing this story. And she has a lot of anxiety about, I think she's like imposter syndrome, where she like never feels good enough or like she's worthy enough. And that like eventually one day everyone's going to realize that she's actually not a good writer, or that she's not this or she's not that. So he writes her this like love note basically. And he writes it like as if like it's for coming from like the character.
Okay.
And she is like, he's not in love with me. He's in love with this like idea of me. And if I can't live up to this idea, he's going to blow up his whole life for like something that doesn't exist. So she basically like burns the letter and leaves, and he's like, fuck you. So then they don't speak for 4 years. So now they're coming back into this house and they're trying to like, they hate each other. Cause they're both like, they don't hate each other, but they hate each other, you know? And they eventually, he's single now. He like, even though she kind of just like left, he still ended up like leaving his wife. Cause he was like, I'm in love with somebody else. Like, it's not fair.
Good boy.
Yeah. No, he did the right thing. And then she's like, oh, I'm engaged now. And he's like, to that fucking loser. And they ended up falling back in love, and it's like this like whole thing. And like, it's like their like journey and like they're healing and like they're becoming friends again. And like, they're also like, their feelings are still there. I liked it. I gave it four.
Cute.
Yeah. I think I gave it like 3.5 stars. Like I wish we had a little bit more. It was just like missing a little something, but I liked the premise, and I am a sucker for a friends to lover second chance romance. So I did like it. And then I listened to The Arc of the Pairing by Casey McQuiston. That's her new book that's coming out in August. So Theo is non-binary, and then Kit is bisexual. They are childhood best friends, second chance romance.
Okay.
And they are their best friends growing up. And then Kit, like in college, whatever, they end up admitting their like love to each other. And they're together for a few years. Everything is great. Swell dandy. They're going on like a 3-week food and wine tour through Europe. And everything blows up like at the airport. And they never end up taking the trip. And they break up, and Kit goes to Paris, and Theo goes back home to California. And then they do not speak for 4 years.
Okay.
And it's non-refundable. So it's only transferable. So they can postpone it, but they cannot cancel.
Okay.
So they're both like doing their own thing for 4 years. They are not speaking. They don't have any contact with each other. Theo's like, fuck it at this point. Like, I'm either going to lose the money or I may as well just go on the trip. So like at the very last minute, they book their trip and they get on the bus, and who's there but Kit. So Theo is basically just like, literally, fuck me. So the first half of the book is told in like Theo's POV, and then it switches, and then you get Kit's POV.
That's kind
of
cool.
Yes. And like, to save face, they're like, oh, like, we're just like, you know, we were best friends. Like, you know, things didn't work out with us romantically. Like, but like, we should try to be friends again. So they like enter into this like sex, like packed game. Like, who could hook up with them, like with more people, like in each city, like
yeah,
each stop, whatever. And like that part kind of like annoyed me like a little bit, because there's like a part where like Theo is with a woman and Kit is like across the alley like with somebody else, and like you can hear, and like Theo is like kind of questioning herself or themselves, sorry. They're questioning themselves on like, is this really what I want to be doing? And then they hear Kit basically like getting head across the way. And it's, and but like Kit is only doing it because Theo's doing it, and like Theo thinks Kit is getting with a lot more people, but like Kit is really just like walking people home and then like going back to his own place. And Theo, like Theo's internal monologue makes you like them, but then the way that they act externally is like very like aloof, and like Theo's character annoyed me a little bit at times. I really, really like Kit's character. Like when it changed to Kit's POV, I really enjoyed the story a lot more. He is just like a simp. Like he is simping so hard. And I just pictured like Timothée Chalamet as Kit. And I like love Timothée Chalamet. I think he's like just like an adorable little boy. And then I kind of pictured Theo as like Emma D'Arcy. So she's Queen Rhaenyra Targaryen from, very like gender like fluid, and I just, that's just how I pictured them. And I liked them together. I thought their friendship was really cute. Like by the end I loved them both, but I just thought like Theo in the beginning was a little bit harder to like, but I did really like the story. So if you liked, I mean, Red, White, and Royal Blue, there's one more book by Casey that I haven't read, but if you like their other work, then you would like the pairing. And like each chapter is like, oh, Palermo pairs well with, and it's like, it's cute. It's cute how it was done. I thought the audio was done really well. And then I just finished, Summer Romance by Annabelle Monaghan.
Oh, how'd you like that?
I did like it. I gave it 4 stars. I read her, one of her other books last summer, and it was Same Time Next Summer, which I believe was a second chance Friends to Lovers romance. Bread and butter. This one wasn't. So this one, she's 38 years old. She's separated. So she's been married for, 14 years. But it's like a marriage kind of convenience. Like she gets pregnant, so they're like, okay, like let's get married. They both work in New York. But her first, there's like complications like with her first pregnancy, and she ends up quitting her job and she becomes this like stay at home mom. And they have two more kids together. And like they just should have never been married. They just like weren't a good couple. He kind of like only like loved her, showed any kind of like affection towards her if like she was like doing the right thing. So if like she was like cooking and cleaning and like being whatever. And they move out of Manhattan back to her hometown of like Beechwood, New York. And her mom is there all the time. She's very, very close with her mother. And her mom like always had this like dream of this like fantasy, like life, like being married with a big family. And her mom had like 7 miscarriages. I forget her name. Allie was an only child, and her parents ended up getting divorced. So her mom kind of like makes a lot of concessions for Pete, which is Allie's husband. And then her mom dies. And a year after her mom's death is when Pete is like, I think we should get divorced. And she's kind of just like going through the motions. Like, so she's an organizer, but she cannot keep her like her own life organized. So she's really good at organizing other people's shit, but like her own life is crazy. Her friend makes fun of her, and because like she only wears sweatpants, like she's like, you need to put on some hard pants. You need to get back out there. Like you're only 38. Like let's get you cleaned up, girl. Okay. Anyway. So like the first day that Allie's like, okay, I'm going to like shower in the morning. She puts on like an outfit, nothing crazy. And she goes to the dog park and her dog pisses on this man.
Just like, amazing.
Which is really funny. And this man is like smitten with her. And Allie is like smitten with him. She's like going back to the dog, but she's like trying to find him again.
Okay.
She's like, Ethan, whatever. She sees him at the skate park, whatever. They go on a date. She gets invited to her best friend's house for dinner, or her best friend's parents' house for dinner. Blah, blah, blah. Ethan walks in. She realizes that Ethan is Scooter, her best friend's, Franny's little brother.
Okay.
And she knew of Scooter in high school. And he was this like, kind of like loser kid, like skateboarding, always getting into trouble. And this reputation is called, kind of like followed him into adulthood. So he moved, like he lives in Connecticut now. He's a lawyer. But like every time he comes home, people are like, oh, Scooter, whatever. Anyway, he has like been obsessed with her since high school. And they start dating and he's like helping her kind of like rediscover who she is and like what she wants in life.
Okay.
And it's like helping her relationship with her kids and like, he helps her like with the mediator, with like the separation with Pete and like get the divorce and like all this stuff. I don't know. It was good. And Mary said this, but I really enjoyed it too. It's like, she's 38 years old and it was never kind of brought up as like a bad thing. Like, oh, I'm 38. I'm washed up. Like, it's too late for me. Like a lot of books, I feel like do that, mm-hmm. but like we're almost 38. And like, if I was single right now, I wouldn't think that I was like too old for things.
No, I think things are vastly different this day and age.
Yeah, so I was happy that it wasn't like, oh, well, why would I bother putting on jeans? I'm 38. Like, who's going to want a 38-year-old mother of three? It was like never kind of brought, like, that was like never really a plot point.
I like that.
It was more just about like her own like growth and self-discovery, like coming back to herself and like what she wants and like who she is. And I thought it was really good.
That's on like one of my, so I have like a, I'm acting as if I can read like 8 million books when I'm at the hospital. Like, that's not the case, but I'm trying to make like a list of like books I want to potentially download to like have on my Kindle when I'm.
Yeah.
We were in the hospital for 3 nights with Leah. You really don't do anything but fucking lay there. Like, there's nothing else to do. So like, it was nice to have a couple books plus like after the fact, like you can't really think. So I'm like, if I can just have things. So it was one of my books, like potentially.
I would say it would. I think it would be a good.
I saw
because it's not, and it's not like heavy, so it's not like you're like you can read it very easily.
Okay, I like that. I did start The Paradise Problem on audio by Christina Lauren.
Oh, I liked it. It was cute.
I'm liking it, but that was one of my like potentials, and I was like, you know what? It's on Everand.
Oh, is it?
So I'm trying to be good. And not buy credits if I'm out of credits. So I was like, what is available for me to listen to? Because I need something to listen to until like the 14th of this month until I get the credit. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. So
I thought it was cute. Yeah, I like that one actually. I'm actually currently not reading anything.
Same.
I'm re-listening to Dishonestly Yours because I read the arc in February. You just finished it. It came out today. Okay. So if you're listening, it's already out. We are going to be reviewing it next week, but I'm like, it's been so long since I read it that I need to. So I'm doing the audio and I'm like flying through it, obviously. And then tonight, it just dropped on our Kindles while we were talking. Play Along by Liz Tomford just dropped. So
I'm really excited. So because like I laughed, like I was 18 for like a real hot second, but like because Liz works for a sports team.
Yeah.
She like, okay, when you go to school for something and someone gets it wrong, it's frustrating. Because, like, mm-hmm. you went to school for it, you paid money to do it, you had a passion for it, even if it was for a hot second day. But, like, you had it. So, like, I can't stand when people, like, think of ATs as quote-unquote trainers and or associate us with personal trainers. There's nothing wrong with a personal trainer. However, when you have a master's degree.
Yes, they're very different things.
They're vastly different things. You work in emergency medicine in the sports medicine department. You are in charge of children's lives and or adult lives. You have to make game time calls. And I don't mean just like, I think you can play with your broken finger. Like, do I need to call 911 for a C-spine injury? Like, there's some things there. So like, I'm like very, I cannot wait because I actually read a Hermione fanfic where Hermione is the athletic trainer and it was a good story, but like
they got it wrong.
Not even just wrong. Like STEM does not fucking cure shit. Neither does ultrasound. Like it might help, it might feel good, but like you didn't do your research.
Yeah.
Like eSTEM is not the solution to frozen shoulder.
If you're gonna write it, research.
Research it. So
or just don't write it.
Or just don't write it. Or make her like the massage there. I don't know. Just do something different. So I'm like, I really can't wait. Cause I know Liz is familiar with what an athletic trainer is.
Yes.
So I'm like, I just can't wait.
I'm just excited overall.
But like, I'm
Liz
excited,
is
like,
never,
yeah.
I mean, she's 3 for 3. And to me, that means she's on God tier because like,
yes,
when Emily Henry was 3 for 3 and then Happy Place came out and then she was 4 for 4 and then Funny Story, now she's 5 for 5. Yeah. Like I'm just putting Liz on that. I'm like, you're 3 for 3. Even if this doesn't hit as hard as the previous three, it's still going to be, I'm like, I know it's getting 4 stars before I even picked it up.
Yes.
Like she would
it's
have to
be amazing.
the book would have to say, Teresa, you're fat, ugly, and disgusting in it for me to like not like it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel. But I guess we'll let you guys know.
We do have an episode for that.
We do. Next week we have Dishonestly Yours. Then we're doing Spilling the Tea. Then we're doing, okay, yeah. So sorry, Dishonestly Yours next week, Spilling the Tea, Play Along, and then The Exiles to end the month, which we both read that and both really love that. We both read Dishonestly Yours already and really love that. So those should be very good episodes. And then we're both anticipating to love Play Along. So.
I will say, like, I don't know about you, but like, I feel like some of the books I've been reading, again, there were some arcs. I kind of like, sometimes if you've never heard an author, you don't know what you're going into. I was kind of just in like at 3 to 3.5 range, which isn't a bad range to be in.
No.
But sometimes you're like, okay, now I'm getting that itch for like a good hit. And I literally read X Vows, which hit. And then I read Dishonestly Yours, which I was like,
I knew you were going to like it, but yes. I didn't know how much you would like it.
No, it's crack. It's fucking crack. Yeah. You need to go. And again, I have not touched the Addicted series. I probably won't. Let's be honest.
I think it's a little true trauma.
It's not my cup of tea, but like the minute I was telling it, because my boss was asking it, she's like, I need something to read. Same concept. Like, she's like, nothing is like hitting. And I was like, listen, well, and this was before I even read it. I was like, my best friend said this. Someone else said this, that like, they don't know what it is. Like, they know what it is, but like, this book is just hitting in a way that like books don't hit. Yeah. So I was like, I haven't picked it up yet. So like, take that with a grain of salt. I got back to her like 24 hours later. I was like, okay, no, you need to fucking pick this up.
I couldn't put it down. I couldn't put it down when I picked it up.
It was so good.
And that's why, okay, so when we went to Sweetgrass, I was talking about it to somebody who had also read it and they did not like it. And I think that if you go in, if you're a Calloway sister series, Addicted series fan, and you go in expecting Addicted and Calloway, you might be disappointed. But like, I don't want them to keep writing the same story over and over again. This is completely separate.
Like, this is vastly different. Like, there's like a blurb from the sisters. Like, this is vastly different from the Calloway series. So if I went in knowing that, like, and again, I'm a synopsis girly. I like what am I getting into? So like, I knew it was con artists. I knew it was going to be some kind of romance.
Right.
I was assuming some toxic moments because if you're a con artist, there's lies to see. I'm assuming that's going to all encompass. But again, like, I'm not someone who's obsessed with like toxic, super toxic relationships, but like this hit for me.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you want, like, Teresa can venture out, like, pretty much dabble in anything if you want, like, your safety net girl.
But I knew that you were going to, remember, like, I even said, I was like, I know you're going to like it.
Yeah, no, it was done really well. And again, like, I mean, we can't.
I was going to say, no, we'll talk about it next week. I don't want to, we can't give it all away for free. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so that's what we have coming up. So if you're listening and you need something to read, go pick up Dishonestly Yours. We will talk about it next Wednesday, and you will not be disappointed, I promise you. And if you are, send me a bill. Anyway, that's all we have. So, Katie?
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.